Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 391, stanzas 1 through 4. When morning lights the eastern skies, O Lord, thy mercy show. On thee alone my hope relies. Let me thy kindness know. 1 through 4 of Psalter 391. Scripture reading for this afternoon hour can be found in the first 30 verses of John 4. John 4, verses 1 through 30. But first we'll make confession with the 12 articles of our Catholic, undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, and was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. John chapter 4. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus Himself baptized not but His disciples, He left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And He must needs go through Samaria. And then cometh He to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to drink water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For His disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto Him, How is it that Thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of Him, and He would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto Him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto Him, Sir, give me this water, and that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, Go, call thy husband, and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidst thou truly. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, and the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I, that speak unto thee, am he. And upon this came his disciples, and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, What seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot, and went her way into the city, and saith to the men, Come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. So far the reading of God's holy word. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty God of heaven and of earth, we may be privileged to gather round this thy word, which is unchangeable from the beginning even unto the end and to all eternity. Thou art the same, thy word is the same. Indeed, there is no variableness, there is no shadow of turning. And thy word, that also shall never return void unto thee, thou gavest it for a purpose in the midst of this fallen race, in the midst of this present evil world, at the revelation of thy holy will. And we, with our children, may receive that great privilege above so many in this world to be brought there under, to read it, to hear it read, and to hear it explained. Lord, we beseech thee, wilt thou come, we may read together. Thou must needs go through Samaria, and there was that woman, and thou hadst to speak unto her. Oh, could it be that also in this afternoon hour, it was that hour, and that thou wouldst speak, that thou wouldst come to show thyself, then it is not with all the splendor and that is to be found in this world, But thou didst just sit and speak. And then what a wonder has taken place in that conversation, wherein thou, as he that is the searcher of the heart and the trier of the reins, as when thou didst uncover all her life, all her sin, O Lord, we ask it of thee. That is not what our flesh desires. Oh, but in one moment, thou art able, also under the regular means of the preaching of the word. Oh, thou canst come in all quietness in this afternoon hour, and thou canst speak, and thou art able to open up in the inmost recesses of our hearts, and to show unto us that thou art the searcher of the hearts, and the trier of the reins, that thou knowest all that dwells within us, and that there is not a sin, a transgression, an evil that is not known to thee, that will not have to be judged when we stand in our judgment. Oh, wilt thou open it, Lord? We do not deserve it. But will it not be to thy glory? Was it not to thy glory? And when thou spakest so unto her, oh, then she did perceive that thou wast the prophet. And then the questions, and they came from her mouth. Oh, then her heart did desire to ask of thee those things that she did not know. And then thou didst open thy mouth in all thy wisdom to give unto her instruction. Oh, then that need for that Messiah, oh, that welled up also within her. And thou didst then show thyself, and thou didst reveal thyself to her. Lord, we ask it of thee also, that thou may show thyself to be the same yesterday, today, and forever. Could it be in this afternoon hour for this one or that one who has come in our midst to hear thy word, then it cannot come from us. For we are but an instrument, but may it be an instrument in thy holy fingers to be used by thee in a way that we do not know. For we do not know the hearts of men, of boys and girls, of young people, fathers and mothers, of young and of old, as we are traveling to that great eternity. And we can but speak that which our own heart devises, but may it be guided by thee. Oh, may thou thyself show that thou knowest us too, and that we are thy servant, and that thou wilt use us as a tool in thy hand for the true conversion of sinners, for the upbuilding of thy church, and for the instruction and the comfort of thy own people. Oh, take reasons then in this afternoon hour out of thyself to look upon young and old in mercy. And wilt thou remember all the congregation? Thou knowest the many needs that are in this life. And thou art able to provide not only for those things that we need for our soul, but also what we need for this life. As thou carest for thy own church, as so that not a hair can fall from their head, except that thou dost will it. And so thou dost also give unto each and every one also in a common way, and the blessings of food and of drink and of clothing and of shelter, and all that is necessary in this life. Oh, look upon young and old, and when the needs can be so many, especially as a consequence of our own sin, and when there is so much misery to be experienced in this world, among young and old, teach us then in our own places to cry to Thee, that we may experience that Thou art the God of the heavens and of the earth, and that Thou may look also upon those in this world that have special needs, wherein disasters have taken place, and where the losses are so many, and the concerns, they still exist for the future, the fears being so very, very many. O Lord, wilt Thou supply, and wilt Thou not deal with us as fallen creatures after our own sins, but wilt Thou look upon them also to help in these most dire circumstances, and all those that are hungry and thirsty and naked in this world, supply Thou for all those who have not Thy word, and that do live in ignorance of Thee, that is so great over the length and breadth of the earth. O do yet send men of Thy choosing and ascending to go forth to bring Thy word far and near. And may it be also in our own denomination, that Thou may show Thyself to be faithful when Thou hast given it in years gone by, that Thou may grant true conversions, and that our fathers may know what that truth of Thy word is experienced in their own soul. And when Thou didst lead them from step to step, and then it is so necessary that we receive the same with our children. O, take not Thy truth and Thy candlestick away from us and our children, despite that we have so far departed in so many ways. O, that Thou may turn us again as a denomination, as churches, as families, as individuals, away from all that this world does lure us with, that does take up our hearts, that does take up our time, and that we that one thing needful may be bound upon our hearts. Wilt Thou remember our rulers and governors? Wilt Thou supply for them also in all their needs? May it be that Thy law may be brought again into the public places, and that Thou may have mercy upon us amidst well-deserved wrath. Wilt Thou look upon our brother who serves in Calgary in this afternoon hour, help him too, and Thy servants in our sister congregations, wilt Thou also be among them and remember us. Lord, we do not deserve it. Thou knowest everything, heart and life, that Thou would prevent, that we also would make a misstep, and that Thou would keep watch over and protect us, for the sake of this our flock, and wilt Thou be in our midst in this afternoon feelingly and believingly. Take reasons out of Thyself to visit us with a token of Thy favor and Thy communion. And we ask it in the forgiveness of all our sins, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 325, stanzas 1 through 4. Teach me, O Lord, in Thy way of truth, and from it I will not depart, and that I may steadfastly obey. Give me an understanding heart. On behalf of the consistory, we make the following announcement. At the male members' meeting held March 17th, Mr. Garrett van Hagenbos was elected for the office of deacon. He has received freedom to accept this office. Installation of office bearer will take place on Sunday morning, April 3rd. Any lawful objection should be brought to the attention of the consistory and by March 29th. The last collection today is for the building fund, Psalter 325. And the king took off his ring, which he had taken from Haman, and gave it unto Mordecai. That was, congregation, an action of very great significance. And why? Because by that action, Mordecai receives authority. He became, by that action, an agent of the king. With his ring seal, so that he was enabled to make decisions, declarations on behalf of the king. What a significance that was for the persecuted Jews. He was always one of them, but before, he had no power. He could say what he will, but he could bring nothing into effect. And now with this one action of the king, that all changes. That is the great significance of the offices. The offices are instituted by God. And it is through those offices that the Lord, he is administering his own kingdom in the midst of this world. We read of that Shunammite woman that she had a great need, but she did not tell what was living in her heart unto Gehazi. But she desired herself to come unto the feet of that great prophet himself. He had an office. Last time, we heard of the significance of the anointing of Christ. Why is he called Christ? That is, anointed. Because he is ordained of God the Father and anointed with the Holy Ghost. It is in that anointing and that appointing and that the Son of God has received authority. Authority to do what? Authority to do his work. And what is that work? It is the work of salvation. It is the work to save from sin. Is that precious to us? That there is one that is appointed, that there is one that is anointed, that there is one that is given authority to save from sin. What is that office to which the Lord Jesus was appointed, anointed by his Father with the Holy Spirit? There was not one. No, there was three offices. Herein he is different. And then every office bearer in this world. Melchizedek, he had two offices, but he did not have three. Thus, what is the significance of this? That the Lord Jesus, he was appointed to all three of those offices. That is, that there is nothing that is necessary for that church that is not to be found in him. That there is none other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. What does the apostle say? He has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That means that there is a church that does find in him everything that is necessary to their salvation. Lord's Day 12, question 31, that continues to speak about all three of these offices, but we wish with the Lord's help to consider each one of those offices separately. Thus, today, only the office of prophet. Question 31, why is he called Christ, that is, anointed? Because he is ordained of God the Father and anointed with the Holy Ghost to be our chief prophet and teacher, who has fully revealed to us the secret counsel and will of God concerning our redemption. So far for this afternoon, Jesus anointed to the prophetical office. First, the necessity of this office. And second, the execution of this office. Jesus anointed to the prophetical office. First, the necessity. Second, the execution of this office. To be our chief prophet and teacher. For whom is a teacher necessary? That is, for one who is ignorant. That is the reason, children, that we send you to school. Your mother, your father. Do you also desire to learn? We hope that when you do your lessons, and that you do your very, very best. And we hope that you are not afraid to show that you are ignorant. Unless, of course, that it is your own fault and you have not done your work, then you should be ashamed. On the other hand, our ignorance is our own shame. But we hope that you are not afraid to show it, because it is only by the admission of our own shame and guilt that we can come to learn. Therefore, we hope that you will ask many questions. But what do you want to learn about? And that not only as children, but also young people as adults, there are many things to learn about. And then especially in the day that we live in, when there is so much information that is to be had all at our own fingertips. Solomon says, of making many books there is no end. And so we can search and search and search for all kinds of wisdom and knowledge in this world. Much study is a weariness to the flesh. Do we ever become weary of it? Because there is much to learn, but in all that learning there is also very often so very little profit. Our instructors, they speak about the counsel and the will of God. Do we desire to know that too? Do we desire to know the counsel and the will of God? Is that now a desire that is more than all of the other desires? What did the Lord Jesus say? He says, this is life. This is life. Is our life precious? But he says, this is not life temporal. He says, this is life eternal. Is that to us precious? This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. What a knowledge is this? Oh, do you ever think, children? Oh, if I might now know, if I may come to know who the true God is. Our first thought, that is, the necessity of that office, that is, the office of prophet or of teacher. Where does it come from? The necessity of that office that comes from our fall. Because we were not created ignorant. No, we were created in God's image. And that has three aspects. And one of those aspects is, young people, knowledge. We knew God. We knew His law. We knew His will. We knew His commands. We knew His creation. We knew the creatures. That means we also knew ourselves. Blessed knowledge. Blessed knowledge. Adam did not need to be taught. When all the animals are brought before him, then he knew the character of each one. And he was able to give each one a name according to their own character. But do you know what Adam also knew? He knew the Lord. He knew the voice of the Lord, who came unto him in the garden. He knew God, and he loved God. But it was not so very long before all of this changed. How? By the willful disobedience of Adam. And then that image, knowledge, righteousness, holiness, that is gone. That is gone. Remnants, yes, little sparks, yes, left of that image in man. But now that knowledge, and the loss of that knowledge that becomes immediately evident in what children, we have said it before, what did they try to do? They tried to hide from God. Then it is evident that they did not know anymore who God was. And they tried to blame one another. Then it is evident that they did not know who God was. How is that in your life? Do we know who God is? Or do we also still try to hide from God? Or do we also still try to place the blame elsewhere than ourselves? Then it is an evidence that we are a son of Adam. Then it is an evidence that we need an instructor, a teacher, that prophetical office. One of the greatest blessings for someone who is ignorant is that they may have a teacher. Because if they have no teacher, then they stay in their ignorance. You have teachers too, boys and girls. Who is your first teacher? Who is your primary teacher? that is your mother and your father. They have begun to teach you already when you were so very, very young. And they remain your teachers, young people. They remain your teacher, not only when you are little, but also when you are older. Who has appointed them? You have not appointed them. They have not appointed themselves. No, the Lord has appointed them. Do you still want to hear their instruction? Or have you no desire for it anymore? Solomon was the wisest man. Where did Solomon receive his wisdom from? He received it from the Lord himself. Solomon was also inspired by the Lord that he may be an instrument to write the Holy Scriptures. And what did he write? My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. Oh, do we want to hear it? Do we hear Solomon? Or are we wiser than Solomon? And are we wiser than the Lord himself, who has given this to Solomon to write? Then it is possible, and that your parents, children, they make use of others also to teach you when they send you to school. Then you have more teachers. But parents, that is not to give the entire responsibility to someone else. No, then we still remain the primary instructor of our children. And the responsibility that still remains upon us. They are for us only helpers. Then there are other teachers. Who are they? They are the office bearers. They are the elders. They are especially your minister. That is a special office. Special office actually of the elder that is to rule. The minister, he is actually a teaching elder. That's his special office, that is to teach, to instruct. But now the elders and the ministers, they do that largely together, to rule and to teach. Where does that office come from? That is not from us. That office is from God. He has instituted that office. We have heard it. And why? Because the Lord, he will use the means to give instruction unto his creature. We know that when the children of Israel came into the wilderness, that they stood before Sinai, and then the Lord spoke unto them directly. And they were afraid. Why? Because of the majesty of God. Then they saw the lightnings, they heard the thunderings, and the earth did shake under him. And when the Lord, he came in his majesty, they could not stand before him. And then they have asked, if the Lord would speak to Moses, and Moses would speak to them. And the Lord did so. And what did the children of Israel say? They said, then we will hearken unto Moses. Did they do that? No. Many times they did not. And so we can see that throughout the scriptures, that so many times those prophets that were sent to the children of Israel from the Lord, think about Jeremiah. They did not want to hear him, but he spoke the word of the Lord. Thus, We have many teachers, and those teachers, they teach many things, but there is one thing that has to be on the foreground. And what is that? That is about the Lord. Indeed, there is much instruction. Is there not, children, in your home? The Bible is read, and maybe some other books may be read, that there may be instruction, when you will go here and there, and your parents, they will say yes or no, and why, that you may not, or that you may, and how that you ought to behave yourself. Oh, there is much instruction. The Lord, He is holy. Much instruction in school from your teacher, Bible classes, much instruction in catechism, much instruction in the church. And now we have a question. Does all that instruction take away your ignorance? Has all that instruction taken away your ignorance? Do you no longer try to hide from God? Do you now know who that God is on account of that instruction in His being, in His attributes, in His works? Say, what does that mean? To know God. Say, I know many things about Him. That's true. But what does it actually mean? To know Him. Thus you feel it. There are different kinds of knowledge. It is not all the same. And you feel it, you can learn much. And you can increase in that knowledge every day. But somehow, when we ask you, is now your ignorance taken away, you say there is still something missing. Somehow you feel it, there must be a greater purpose, a greater end to all that instruction. It cannot be that all that instruction that is only to inform my intellect. No, because my soul that is still missing something. And so it is. The end, the purpose of all that instruction that is not being met by the intellect. There is another end. There is a higher end to which all of that instruction that is being aimed at. And what is that? That is actually a new relation to God. That you may come in the favor of the Lord. That we may come in the communion with the Lord. That we may be reconciled to God. That is, that we truly may know Him. And this all your instructors cannot give you. Children, your parents cannot give it to you. And your teachers cannot give it to you. And your catechism instructors cannot give it to you. Your minister cannot give it to you. We're helpless. All our words are then ineffective. And therefore, our first point. What is that first point? That is the necessity of this office. Then we need a teaching that no man is
able to give. Though he is ever so wise, though he loves us ever so much, we need another instruction. We need another office. And so the Lord has provided. Why is he called Christ, that is anointed? Because he is ordained of God the Father and anointed with the Holy Ghost to be our chief prophet and teacher. That brings us to our second thought, the execution of this office. The Pharisees and the scribes, and they did send officers in their hatred, in their envy, to take the Lord Jesus Christ. But those officers, they came back without the Lord Jesus. Their hands, they are empty. And they say, why? Why have you not taken him? They said, never man spake like this man. Thus they came there with an intention. But their intention that was undermined. The Lord Jesus also knew what their intention was. But he was in control. And it was impossible that the Lord Jesus would then be taken. And these officers, they are in one moment struck. So that they are not able to lay hands on the Lord Jesus Christ. Never a prophet. Never a teacher on the earth has spoken as this prophet. He is, as our fathers say, the chief prophet and teacher. Thus we read, the multitudes, they are astonished at his doctrine. Why, oh, gracious were his words. But even more, he was able to bring those words into the heart. That was on account of his divine nature. And he was able to see into everyone's heart. We heard a little this morning. Judas. He knew all that was living in him. And he knew all that was living in the Pharisees and the scribes when they came with their questions one by one to drive him into a trap. And he knew all that was living in the hearts and the thoughts of his own people, his disciples. Not only so, but when he spoke, he was able to make his word effectual. He was able to give a real change in the heart of man. We see an emblem of this in his miracles, in his outward deeds. When he has taken of those that are sick and has in one moment cured them. And when he has done so in a natural way, then he has shown his power for that work that he has come to do, that is for the salvation of souls. And so we can read his ability, his power, to open the understanding of man that he may understand the scriptures. You say, if he was able to do that, why did the Lord Jesus not do that to everyone unto whom he spake? Because there was multitudes and multitudes of people that came to hear him. They were not all converted. No, many of them were not. Many of them left him. Many of them were offended with the words of this chief prophet and teacher. Was it because he lacked the ability? No. Even his weeping over Jerusalem, that was no helpless weeping. That was not as if that he stood by with no power. But the Lord Jesus himself says to his disciples, because it is given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but unto them it is not given. Thus he had the power, but there was a holy submission unto the will of his Father. I know whom I have chosen. Christ, he is the chief prophet and teacher sent by God. We heard of that Samaritan woman. What did she say? I know when Messiah is coming, he will tell us all things. And then later, or then she had to testify. Come see a man who has told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? What things will he tell? The chief prophet and teacher, what has he come to tell? Our fathers, they say, who has fully revealed to us the secret counsel and will of God concerning our redemption. After the fall, we have lost the knowledge of God. Thus, he has come to reveal again the knowledge of God, to teach and to instruct in the knowledge of God. Did he ever instruct you in that knowledge? The Lord Jesus said himself that no man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. He hath declared God, his will, his counsel. So he said to his disciples, all things that I've heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. The Lord Jesus, he is called in God's word the brightness of his glory. And he is called the express image of God's person. Thus, in his very person, the Father already declares himself, his counsel, his will. Thus we see in the incarnation, in the coming of that Son of God in the flesh, we may read the counsel and the will of God. How we ought to wonder after him. Even congregation, before he speaks one word, then the will of the Father that is made known in his very person, in his very natures, in his very existence, in his being who he is. And as that chief prophet and teacher, then he declares the mysteries of God. Those mysteries that were before the foundation of the world, that need to be revealed, otherwise they remain hid. As the chief prophet and teacher, he declares the future. Showed to his disciples, we heard that too this morning, something of the future, his future sufferings, his death, his resurrection again from the dead, destruction of Jerusalem, the end of the world. We can read how in the revelation that he has spoken unto John of all the things that would happen in the world concerning that New Testament church. The chief prophet and teacher. And how do we lead parents, our children? How do we instruct them? We instruct them, hopefully, by our example. Is that now how he taught? By his holy life, without sin. His holy life with his back to the world as a pilgrim with just a short time that he had to do his labors here in this world. His example, when he was reviled, he reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Chief prophet and teacher. And he walked in what way? He walked in a way of decreasing. His life that would come through death. He sanctified that way. He sanctified that way for his whole church. And then he said to his church, follow me. Therefore, that is that way that his church will go. Though their flesh will rebel against it. What an instruction. What a blessing. What a comfort to that people that find themselves upon that way with so many riddles. Then to be able to look in that word of God, what was now the example, the instruction of that way, of that chief prophet and teacher. But he is no longer on the earth. That a hindrance to him? No. No, that is not a hindrance to him. Children, maybe you say if we could only hear him himself, that would be something. That is true. That is true. Oh, if we could hear his voice. But he does not have to be here with his human nature for us to hear his voice. No, we read that he is no time absent from his church with his majesty, with his Godhead, with his grace, with his spirit. So it is possible that we also may be instructed by him. No, we cannot give you that instruction. But it is indeed through the office that we are given. All do we desire that of him. That we would say, Lord, that I may hear not today the minister, but that I may hear today thee. That I may hear thy voice in thy own word. That I may receive instruction from thee. Did you ever receive such instruction? So how do we know? How do we know if I have received instruction from him? Let us sing. 67. 1, 3, 4, and 5. Lord, to me thy ways make known. Guide in truth and teach thou me. Thou, my Savior, art alone. All the day I wait for thee. 1, 3, 4, and 5 of Psalter 67. Why is he called Christ, that is anointed? Because he is ordained of God the Father and anointed with the Holy Ghost to be our chief prophet and teacher, who has fully revealed to us the secret counsel and will of God concerning our redemption. The Holy Scriptures, congregation, they are a revelation of the secret counsel and will of God concerning our redemption. Thus their purpose, that is not only that we might know who that God is, but that is also that we may be reconciled to that God. Our fathers call the counsel and will of God concerning our redemption a secret counsel. You say it is revealed in the Bible. That is so. There is nothing that is necessary for the salvation of that people that is not found in the Holy Scriptures. Do you read them? And still, when the Ethiopian eunuch was returning home from Jerusalem, then we read he testified to Philip that he did not understand him. Is that so with you too? Is the Bible so hard to understand? Indeed. We read that Peter says in Paul's epistles, there are some things that are hard to understand. But the way of salvation that is written in the Bible, that is very plain, so that even a little child can understand it. But still, there will be many people, the Lord Jesus says, that know the Lord's will, and will in the end be beaten with many stripes. And why? Because they prepared not themselves, because they did not do according to his will. So, that means there was no profit, there was no fruit, there was no effect, there was no true conversion. Without that chief prophet and teacher to bless, to instruct us. Oh, that Bible, that remains a sealed book. A sealed book. Though we may know that Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Everything that a person truly learns in his life that concerns the redemption of his own soul, that is a lesson of the Spirit of the Lord that is sent by that great prophet and teacher. We do not need to hear that word once. No, we need to hear that word of God twice. David says, God hath spoken once, twice have I heard this. Thus, it is one revelation of God, but it needs to be heard by us two times. It needs to be heard in our ear, and it needs to be heard in our heart. Of Lydia we read that she attended to the things that were spoken of Paul. Oh, she heard it twice. Then it was given to go into her inner ear. And that is true congregation of everything that is necessary for us to know. And what is now the first thing that is necessary for us to know. That is our misery. You believe that, young people? It is shocking to hear sometimes those who have for many, many years been instructed under the truth that actually think that it can begin with deliverance. The Lord Jesus, he says, the whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. And we can go our whole life to church and agree with the Holy Scriptures and hear about sin and call ourselves a sinner, and still we don't know our misery. We can think to know, but we as yet know nothing as we ought to know. Our misery that needs to be shown to us. Our misery needs to be revealed to us. By whom? By the chief prophet and teacher. Oh, how different. How different then it becomes when the chief prophet and teacher, he may open our eyes to what our wretchedness is. Do you know what we do then? Then we smite upon our breast and we say, oh God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Is that not different? Is that not different? Did it ever become so with you? That first lesson that is so necessary to know, that lesson is taught to us by the chief prophet and teacher. And then yet, from the side of that people, what is that thing that remains to them so hidden? Our Father said, it is the secret counsel and will of God concerning our redemption. Oh, who is more hidden to that people than the Lord Jesus Christ? The bride, she says, behold, he standeth behind our wall. Oh, when he is standing behind our wall, then we are not able to see him. What did that bride say? She says, I sought him, but I could not find him. Hidden. Is he also hidden to you? If there is ever anything that needs to be revealed to that poor, bound soul, it is the secret counsel of God concerning our redemption. I sought him, but I could not find him. I called him, but he gave me no answer. Is that for you too? Do you have no answer? How many times have you called? Is there yet no answer? Then how is it when that chief prophet and teacher to show himself? When that chief prophet and teacher does reveal himself, then it becomes different. Oh, then the bride says, I found him whom my soul loveth. And then she says, I held him. Oh, I held him, and I would not let him go. Thus our Father say, who has fully revealed to us the secret counsel and will of God concerning our redemption. Oh, how little that chief prophet and teacher needs to say to give instruction to his people. Or sometimes, then when he is standing there behind their wall, then the bride, he says, sometimes he shows himself through the lattice. Then what do they have? Oh, they have just a little sight of him. Just a little sight of him. And just that smallest sight of him that is so good, that gives them so much instruction already. Why? Because he is the express image of God's person. Oh, than just one word. Mary. Then the eyes go open. She worships him. How few words does he need? Peace be unto you. And everything changes in one moment. And those mourning disciples, oh, they are made so glad because there is so much in one word from him. When it is spoken from him and when he brings that word into their heart. Why? Why is he called Christ, that is anointed? Because he is ordained of God the Father. And anointed with the Holy Ghost to be our chief prophet and teacher. O congregation, do we need him? Do we need a teacher? Do we need this chief prophet and teacher? How long? How long have we come and gone from the place of the holy? Many years already? Time is going on. Time is short. Eternity, that is so very, very long. What has now been the profit of the many years that we have come and gone from the place of the holy? And can we still go on? Can we still go on receiving that outward knowledge, the outward instruction? No word from that chief prophet and teacher. We read in God's word, knowledge puffeth up. That is where we go with all our outward knowledge. We become something and we don't know and don't realize how dumb and blind and ignorant actually that we are. Oh, you say, I cannot give it to myself. Can you not? Can you not give to yourself that right knowledge? Can you not bring that word? Or is that your burden? You sit before that word on your bed. Young people, children, you take that word in your hands and you say, now, that word, I've been instructed since I was young to read it. And I cannot bring one word into my heart. Is there not one who can? There is one who was ordained for this. there is one who was anointed and who was appointed for that very purpose. Ordained and anointed of God to be chief prophet and teacher. Oh, will you not say to him, teach me, lead me, guide me? What does James say? If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. People of the Lord, you are those who may have received some instruction. That instruction that is not according to your flesh. No, because you need to learn something. And what is that? That redemption is the secret counsel and will of God. Redemption, you need to learn it. That it comes from Him. That it comes all from Him. They are necessary, heavenly lessons that you cannot miss. Divine instruction that you are to be saved by grace. With weeping, with supplications, He leads you. As the blind, by a way that you do not know, leads you in that narrow way that becomes ever narrower, but leadeth unto life. Now you see through glass, darkly, the apostle says. Says we see through a glass darkly, but it will not always be so. No, one day then you shall see face to face. Now he says it is in part. But then that which is in part shall be done away. And then you shall know. Then you shall know. You shall know. Even as you are known. That is the foundation. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, grant thy grace to each one of us. We are ignorant and foolish, dumb, blind. O, teach us, lead us into all thy truth. Oh, do give each one, that we may take thy precious word in hand, to have a cry to that chief prophet and teacher in our heart. Teach me, lead me, instruct me, give me life from the dead. Wilt thou be with us when we depart from one another again? Spare over all dangerous ways. Help us, Lord, in the needs and the cares of this life. Also in the week to come, each one in our place. Oh, give us not to end in all this world, but that our hearts may long for Thee. Forgive all our sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. 415, 2, 4, and 6, unto me, O Lord Jehovah, show thy ways, and teach thou me, so that by thy Spirit guided, clearly I thy paths may see. 2, 4, and 6 of Psalter 415.
Thank you.
receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.
Blessing.